Well, okay, you mentioned people that are hard to record. I wanted to ask, one of the things that I was curious to know is, you know, there are people that I've worked with that are dreams to record, and there are people that are just nightmares to record. Mentioning names, if or not, who have you recorded, and even live, who have you worked with that are great, and why?
Yeah.
And who that's not so good, and I mean, not naming names, but what are the things that make for a nightmare for the engineer? And maybe people will, somebody will hear this that's a singer and go, oh, I didn't even thought about that. Tips and, or names, like I said, you know, if you mentioned Michael.
He'd be in the dream category because he's such a pro. He's done it, you know, for 30, 35 years, and his vocal techniques, you know.
And tone for days, I'm sure the tone's
outstanding. Yeah, no lack of tone there.
But now, is his voice as solid and consistent and sort of compressed? Does it just come out at the same level all the time?
Well,
he's got the built-in compressor right here in his
throat.
Big
dynamics, but, you know, he works the mic really good. I mean, he doesn't get too far off, but he's got better vocal technique than I do, as you can tell here. But he's really good. Leanne Rimes was real pro. I was really impressed how she matured as both a singer and a studio vocalist. She's just phenomenal on the microphone, just really works it.
Okay, but tell me, I'm looking specifically why. I mean, what is it that they're doing?
I think it's because they're listening to what's coming out of their mouth through the microphone, back through their headphones. And if you get that right, if you deliver that as the engineer or the producer to them, where they're comfortable in hearing and hearing what they need to hear, they'll give you a great vocal, you know. So I think it's as much about hearing as it is the microphone. So,
So getting the headphone mix that, right, or just
so important. I think you know you don't want them thinking about the mix or something that's distracting in the mix. You want them thinking about the song and the interpretation of the song. And if something's out of the whack, you know, out of whack in the headphones, you know, that's going to make it harder for them to sing. You know, it's same with the vibe of the room. You know, it's all about comfort, I think.
Do you ever do wacky things with the headphones in? Like if they're bothered by their dynamic range, or do you ever, you know, tune them one way or the other if they're singing flat? Do you ever do anything tricky with their headphones?
Oh, well, I can't think of anything. I would do anything that it took to get them comfortable, but not that I can think of in that department.
I've had singers that wanted to hear their vocal in such a narrow dynamic range that I actually had to EQ, and they what they wanted to hear in their headphones was so bright that it was like, I can't put that on tape in good conscience.
Yeah,
but I had
one
to
thing
EQ and compress just the return feed to them so they could hear what they wanted to hear.
I listen to what the vocalist is getting in their headphones on my mix, too, and I think that keeps me in tune with what they're hearing, why they're doing their lead vocal passes. So I'm very much in tune to what they're hearing. And also one thing I tell assistant engineers is go out in the room and put their headphones on, see what's wrong with them, if they're hearing something wrong, if there's something wrong with the box, if it's an 8-track cue, if it's all out of whack. But, you know, you need to know what they're hearing.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. It's easy. It's nice to have that control, but they can get it out of whack pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's like, how come the voice is all over here? It's like, well, that's not the voice. That's the pan knob. Hello. What do you think?
Dream vocalist would have to be, and nightmare as well, would be Dolly, because that's, that's just one of the finest singers in the world. You know, but the dynamic range is real tough to deal with, and there's just a really fine line on when to talk, when not to, you know, when to give her feedback, because she'll, you know, with Allison, it's one song a day. Maybe she'll sing one song and then we'll comp it. Whereas Dolly will go out and not come in for four or five songs. She'll just stand there at the mic, get her lyric sheet out for the next song, take her 5 minutes to get into that place emotionally. And then I've got three passes, and I got to get it. You know, with no distortion, no. You've got to catch it because she's going to give it everything she's got for those three passes. And it's, you know, and dynamically it's pretty tough to catch. So,
are you writing gain while she's tracking?
Yeah, not a lot, because that also, like with Allison, I just started doing that a little bit more between verses and choruses. I am writing now, not what's going to tape, but on monitor, and that has seemed to help her. And no compression, yeah. She just really freaks out when she's hearing any any compression, so I'll try and cut it without. Dolly, that's a tough one, but I mean, to be in the room, you know, to be the guy that's sitting there catching it is just an unbelievable treat. You know, just amazing woman, amazing singer, but tough. Yeah, and you don't screw up. Do not, you know, she's pretty tough. I mean, you got to be ready well before she comes in and have your settings, because she's going to go out there and deliver right now. Whereas, you know, a lot of other singers, Krauss will sing for, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour before we even think of keeping something.
Okay.
So there's lots of times.
Is they a header G on Dolly?
Yeah, that changes. That changes every now and then, 67. But for softer stuff, for sure, I can use the Sony. I've got a 269 that works every now and then.
Okay.
But it just depends. I mean, there's no... She doesn't want to wait around for that. You know, there's not much you can change. You just gotta, you know what I mean. She's, you don't even
ride
get
the
a,
wave.
You don't even get a rough mix up. You know, you roll tape and she's singing. You know, you go to the next song, you know, get the faders in a rough position and record.
That's amazing. Who else?
Again, like he said, Vince is both the best singer and the worst singer I've ever worked with, because pitch is never an issue with him. I mean, he's just always on pitch. His microphone technique's good, but he sings very quietly at times. He sings quietly enough at times that, you know, I'm just getting, after having set a gain structure up, I'm getting, you know, 12 to 15 dB less gain than I would optimally get. And by the end of the night, he may be giving me plus 6. You know, so... Unfortunately, Amy, his wife, also sings very quiet. So when I'm doing a show with both of them, there's like no relief, you know. And they both talk even quieter than they sing. So you wouldn't think that would be that important. But I get more comments from the audience about not being able to hear what they're saying between songs than I ever do about my mix. People,
wow.
Because they're whispering, and not only are they talking quietly, but they're off axis. They're turning their head back and forth, and look. Vince most of the time is looking down his guitar tuner while he's talking. So I wind up.
You gonna strap a mic on their nose, or
yeah,
what are you gonna do?
Embed them in the back of their front teeth. I think that's the next idea.
Or you can get one of those little things that keeps it right in front of their mouth all the time.
That would never work with Vince, but. I do, you know, stay on him about it. So Vince, you gotta help me out there, buddy. You gotta stay on the microphone. Unfortunately, a lot of times in a situation when I don't have a lot of isolation from the PA, I wind up having to ring the vocal in the PA to get that level, without actually having to sacrifice some quality in the EQ of the vocal. Just to get the level up there on the talking parts, especially when we're out doing, for example, the Christmas tour in arenas, you know, with the 60 people on stage and lots of open microphones. And
yeah, for people that might not know what you're talking about increasing the gain until you find what frequencies will cause feedback and then notching those out.
Right.
And then you just keep turning it up and turning it up.
Right, exactly. Okay. I use a Digicode D5 these days, and have the capacity to have quite a few parametric filters that I can insert into any signal path, and try to take very narrow notches right at those frequency points, so you don't wind up sucking the gain out of the signal path with EQ.
And this is just on the vocal mic?
Typically, yes.
Okay.
In a concert situation, I know we're only talking about vocal mics here, but in a concert situation with a symphony, which I do quite a bit of, you also have to do the same thing with string mics. You have to turn them up till they feed back and take some of that frequency out, turn them up again. And I also wanted to concur with Ben. I've done sound for Michael McDonald a few times live, and I also recorded him with Vince and Amy and Chet Atkins in '94 for this Christmas special. He has to be, no doubt, the best singer I've ever worked with. Both pitch, the character and quality of his vocal, the sheer power of his vocal is frightening. I mean, he's one of those kind of guys that you could put in a small venue with no microphones at all, and he could entertain the crowd just singing acoustically. And not to mention, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
On top of all that. So Michael should be here. He should.
That's the Michael fan club. What do you think, Elmo?
best vocalist would in hip hop would be Tupac Shakur. He's very loud, but he does everything with feeling, and everything's done at a very professional level, frighteningly professional. He was the best I've ever worked with by far. His professionalism, his sense of work ethic was impeccable. There was nobody that could match that. I'm the type of guy that if the vocalist is going to stay in the studio 2 or 3 days and they want to, you know, hang out, then so be it. I'm going to be there, and if we're not going to sleep, we're not going to sleep. It's just that kind of thing, you know. And with Pac, you know, you stay up 5-6 days and you start seeing things that aren't there. And you know, he was that type of guy that, you know, he would wake you up during a cat nap and say, "Hey, I recorded my own vocal, check this out." You know, you just shake your head because, you know, it's the sixth day and this guy hasn't stopped yet. Singing wise, singers that have been really good, I think personally, Millie Puente, Tito Puente's niece, she did the movie Mambo Kings. She was the girl in the band. She's one of the greatest vocalists I've ever worked with. I vocal coached her, and but she was excellent from the gate. There was it was just about dealing with her breathing when she came for vocal coaching, and there was the pitch is there, everything else is there. It's just one of those naturally God-given talents that you're just like, why are you coming to me? You know, I have to get paid for something, you know. But she was incredible, both live and recorded. Worst, without mentioning any names, the worst kind of artists to deal with are those that aren't coherent. they're the ones that you really have to scratch your head and wonder why you came, or they came that day, and sometimes you wonder why you came that day. Why couldn't it be your assistant doing that and you at home with your wife, you know? That's the worst. I do have a story, and because you had mentioned a story. I was in a studio with an unnamed hip-hop guy, and he comes in, and he's not feeling his vocals, and he's not coherent. And he comes in, and he says that the walls are caving in on him. And therefore, he took out a 9 and pointed it at me. And I'm behind an SSL, and one of the producers, very famed producers from Run DMC, walked in, and me being an islander, Puerto Rican, I'm below the console, of course, and in a almost fetal position, but I grabbed the chair and grabbed anything I could because I couldn't walk out because the window was so big that it was enormous, like this window behind us. And he could just, you know, if it went off, it could hit me. So I
like
just
in a fishbowl.
Yeah, like in a fishbowl. So I went underneath the console, and in walks the famed producer at that time, and he's like, "Where's our engineer?" And I'm just hitting record like this over the doing take after take, you know.
Oh, you're still working while you're under the console?
Yeah, I'm still working.
Now that's professional.
This was years ago when I really needed, you know, the money, and I cringe every time because it was loaded, and you know, he walks in and they're like, nothing, you know, he's okay, you know, and I'm like, you know, it's like giving a loaded gun to an ape at the zoo, you know, it's not a good combination.
We're doing some Grand Ole Opry shows on the road this year with Vince and Patti Loveless and Rebecca Lynn Howard and the Del McCoury Band. The Del McCoury Band all performs in front of 2 microphones. I've been using the KSM 32s on them. And again, that's another situation where you ring the vocals before you turn it loose with the audience. But those guys are absolutely amazing at their mic technique, the way they move around the microphone.
How many people?
There's 4 of them.
4, okay.
And they, since this is a large venue situation, they let me cheat, and I put a clip-on microphone on the bass, and I also put a SM-81 out the side for Dell's guitar, But the balance of the music is done around one microphone vocally and one microphone for instruments. And they're just the kings of, I call it the mic dance. They do the mic dance really well. It's amazing. You're in an arena or in a large venue, and it comes down, the volume comes down, obviously, because there's no volume from the stage hardly. But there's something about what they're doing and the way it sounds that just draws people's attention to it. So all the shuffling in the audience stops, all the talking, all the rustling around of clothes and kids crying and all the noise that's going on in that venue, it just stops. It's like they create this vacuum with their performance that draws everybody into it. And it's really incredible. After all these years of 30 years of being an engineer and starting out somewhat like that, now, you know, we've gone through the whole program of as many channels and as many tracks as we can get, and now these two guys come up there with, you know, basically two microphones and just enrapture the audience and slay them every time. They're slaying me. So it's a cool deal. If you ever get a chance to hear those guys and doing their two-microphone, large diaphragm thing, it's very cool.